I would say that it does get better over time. The thing about it is, once you learn where it is that you're messing up at, whether it's self-love, whether it's finances, whether it's choosing the wrong partner, once you realize where your mistakes lie, have a dedicated plan to fix that, because that's honestly the only way it's going to change.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ghetto CEO Podcast, where we talk about how being a CEO can be super ghetto sometimes. I'm talking about just ratchet, all right? We just don't know what we're going to deal with when we wake up in the morning, okay? But we are strong and we get through the day, okay? So we bring some guests on to the podcast that's willing to be honest and just honestly very transparent about the journey, so you can be empowered to continue on your journey, okay? And if you are loving this podcast, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. And let me tell you something. We got an amazing community that I think that you should tap into. If you feel like you are tired of being alone and dealing with this ghetto-ness and entrepreneurship, then you should join us in our free community, the Coworkers Community. We have chapters all over the United States. We got one in Atlanta, DMV, Houston, Dallas, and New York, okay? But you do not have to be in any of those cities to join the Coworkers. We actually do in-person events and virtual events. So make sure you click the link somewhere down there, okay, so that you can join us in the free Coworkers Community. Now, listen, I am bringing you another guest, and I know that you're going to love, love, love this story. But what I want you guys to do is pull up, grab a pencil and paper, okay, so you can pull up to the scene. Welcome to the Ghetto CEO Podcast.
Hi.
Hello, hello. Let the people know who you are.
My name is Kiera Lachey. I go by Kiera Lachey. I am the author of the FM Co. and I am the owner of Kalabi Bags.
Yes, I love it. Okay, so how did we get to this moment? Like, what was like your, what you feel like was your defining moment in your business?
How do we get to the business? I would say, for starters, it was just the FM moment, right? I was pretty much at my lowest, tired of being, you know, feeling depressed, feeling unmotivated, not going after my goals. And one day standing in the yard, I just was like, fuck him. We're going to shift the focus. We're going to get to the piece in the bag and all that good stuff. Yes. And then that started the FM Co.
Okay, so take us back a little bit. Well, who was him? Like, who was we fucking? Like, what was the what was the energy? Like, what? How did we get to that moment?
Oh, my God. So I got married, actually, in 2018 to who I thought was the love of my life, right? Everything was perfect in the beginning. The flowers, the dates, blah, 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 all the good stuff. And then slowly but surely, he turned into that monster that we all know. Inconsistent, bare minimum, aggressive, abusive, all of those things. And that ended up being an 8-year relationship, right? So by the time I realized what was going on, I was already deep into it.
Right.
I love this person. And now you're just hoping that they change. You start chasing this high and you're going through all those emotions. And we eventually got to the space of divorce and all that good stuff. But I knew he wasn't good for me. I mean, he was taking me through it.
But talk to the women that's like, hold on. I'm recognizing some of them things. Like,
yeah.
How did you, like, what was the moment that you feel like, I done came out of a trance? Like, what has been happening? Or do you feel like it was a change over time? Like, you didn't see those red flags at first, and it was just like he became this person? Or, like, what kind of happened?
Honestly, I would say when you first meet a guy, you kind of unintentionally ignore the red flags. I do believe that they were always present, especially when I look back. But when you're also getting that butterfly feeling and you haven't experienced someone buying you flowers or taking you on dates, you're like, I'll make a pass for this other stuff over here because he got me feeling good on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Right, right, right. So Monday is not questionable, but
yeah. So I think they were always there. It's just I fell into it. I mean, it happens to the best of us, honestly. Mm-hmm. And by the time I realized again what was happening, I consider myself to be in love.
So yeah. We are now deep in a relationship, and then you're like, you know, something isn't right. So what was the steps that you feel like you took to get out of that situation? Or do you feel like it was just a moment? Like you said, like, I just gotta go.
I think it was a series of events, right? Yeah. The very first one is I ended up in a mental institution for 3 days. I was Baker-acted because I had literally lost my mind. He had told me he had cheated in our marriage for the first time. Now, he was a habitual cheater before the marriage.
Oh, wow.
But for some reason, I thought the piece of paper would change something.
Yeah.
And so we get married. I'm thinking everything's okay. He tells me that he cheated. So I kind of lost it a little bit because I'm like, damn, I thought we were getting this together. Yeah. Yes. So I ended up getting Baker-acted. And the third day, I'm sitting in front of a psychiatrist. And she's like, look, you look good on paper. You keep a job. You don't have any open DCF cases. I'm a mom.
Yeah.
Girl, you have nothing else going on. But why are we here? What can't I see? And I explained to her what was going on in my relationship. And she's like, hey, I can't diagnose him. He's not in front of me. But I want you to research the term narcissist. Before then, I had never heard of it.
Mm.
I want you to research this term. And it just started from there. I started to educate myself more and more and more. And it was a process. I can't say I just woke up one day and I finally had it. It was today I learned a little bit more. Today I learned a little bit more. I get a little bit stronger. And then eventually it was definitely fuck him.
Heavy on the fuck him. Yeah. Okay. But okay, so for the people that don't know, they mm-hmm. like narcissists. What yeah. is that? Like, define that term for them.
I would have to say it's a series of things. There's not just one character trait that makes a person a narcissist. In fact, scientists say or psychiatrists say that you need 5 or more traits in order to be deemed a actual narcissist. Mm-hmm. So that could be gaslighting, habitual lying, manipulative, mm-hmm. things of that nature. It's a series. It's a collection of things because you can meet a manipulative person,
yeah.
but that don't make them a narcissist. Mm-hmm. But if okay. they have 5 or more traits, you're manipulative. You gaslight people, you don't take accountability, you know, you're abusive in many ways, then we got another topic that we need to discuss for sure.
And I think even in this culture, right, like, I feel like we find terms and we just start labeling people.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, we like, I've been gaslighted. Yeah. And you're like, girl, I was just asking you a question.
Right.
How did we get here? You know, so
yeah.
how do you feel like if you are like trying to define that, right? Like, okay, yes, they are narcissists, or yes, I'm, you know, experiencing this. How do you know, you know, because sometimes I also feel like, you know, sometimes we be a little sensitive. We as women, mm-hmm. we be tripping, you
Absolutely.
Know, sometimes.
Yeah.
So how do you know? Because I know before you're like, am I tripping or is this real?
Correct.
Right? How yeah. did you like define that for yourself?
I would say just the consistent behaviors that he would do. I would never call someone a narcissist if that was just they had a trait and then this one day, you know, you right. decided to gaslight me.
Right.
But when the behaviors are consistent, I mean, over a duration, we're talking about years here of this behavior being consistent. That definitely defined what was going on for me.
Mm. I love that. Consistent.
Yes.
If the behaviors are consistent, even after I come to talk to you, right? Because even I feel like I'm about to turn 30 this year.
Okay.
So I have went through therapy for about 2 to 3 years, but I feel like conversations are different from healed people and people that are unhealed.
Yes.
And I feel like it's like, okay, well, I can take accountability and I can come to you and say, hey, yes, this may be uncomfortable,
right.
but hey, this is what I'm seeing. This is how I feel. But other people may not receive that. So
right.
as our listeners are like listening and watching this, what do you feel like they should be doing and how they should be evolving to eliminate some of these things in their life?
Honestly, I think the first sign truly when you know that you're healing is to kind of be receptive of other people's answers as well. Mm-hmm. You got to kind of understand, or I would say this, someone told me that you don't have to really believe or kind of like accept the person's answer, but just accept it that they gave it to you. That
Thanks.
Is that.
Yeah.
So when you're moving forward and trying to eliminate certain things,
yeah.
I think being receptive and just being understanding is totally one of those. It's one of the things that you have to do. Like, okay, I see what this is. They may not,
yeah.
you know, they don't agree.
Right.
But I see what it is. I accept that they don't agree. Let me just move forward from this.
Mm.
I don't recommend people stand in situations thinking that something is going to change. It's perfectly okay to eliminate and move forward.
Mm, you know, that's good. Because I think a lot of times too, when you get, what age, how old were you when you got married?
I was 29.
Okay, 29.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of times in relationships, one thing that people, I feel like people do is they are invested in the potential. right? Ooh. Like, not necessarily the actual what mm-hmm. is actually in front of you, but you're investing in, like, well, I think this person could do this, or they can eventually do this, yeah. right? Like, how have, or do you feel like, even in your next relationship, you know, are you navigating that?
My rule of thumb now is if I don't see myself loving this person where they are currently, it's not something I want to move forward with. Because I have, you know, he was that guy where I'm like, he could potentially be great. He's not all that bad. We can fix this.
Yeah.
And then 8 years go by. So now if I do decide to meet someone, I need to know or that I can love you at this moment, not expecting you to change. What if you never grow? Is this it right here? Can I be in love with this person? If yeah. I can't, we're not doing it.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so we got to the point where you're leaving. You like, fuck him.
Yeah.
So how did that come into a brand? Like, how did you develop that into a company?
I've always been a writer since the second grade. Okay. So, for one, I'm a serial entrepreneur. This is probably my fifth business.
Okay.
The businesses prior were not filled with purpose. Mm. So when I fought out of this situation and I realized how hard it was for me, I found my purpose. Let me help other women by way of my passion, which is writing, to navigate their own relationships that are similar to mine. And then the FM Co. was here.
I love it. Okay, so what are you teaching? What is the business all about?
So narcissistic abuse recovery is all we're focused on. The journal is made for you to learn the narcissist, leave the narcissist, let go of the pain that they've caused, and then you focus on leveling the fuck up. So we send you through a series of feelings and emotions and situations in order for you to get to your higher self.
You know, one thing I also, I'm triggered right now. Okay, listen, yeah. because I do feel like the narcissist doesn't always have to be the person you're in a relationship with.
True.
A narcissist, like, I truly feel like my dad has a lot of narcissistic traits.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just be like, block his ass. You know what I mean? So it's like, it doesn't. And I think a lot of times we think in relationship, but you can be in relation with multiple people, you know Absolutely. What I'm saying? So is it for somebody that's just in a intimate relationship, or is just any relations around you?
So, side note, my dad is on the block list, so I feel you.
Listen, girl, that's a whole episode. Fuck him. No, just
we working on that.
Right.
But you know, my audience is the one who made me realize that it doesn't have to be intimate. So while our hero product, the Fuck Him Journal, is about intimate relationships, I do have the Fuck Them Journal, which is about narcissistic parents. So yeah, it could definitely be a parent. It could be a friend. It could be a boss. It could be a series of people. It doesn't have to be an intimate partner for sure.
I love that. And I don't want, you know, I know we're saying fuck him, but it could be her. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be your mom. You know what I mean? Your sister. Yes. Your older sister that was burning your panties and you know. You know what I'm saying? People got real trauma
that
they're going through. Uh-huh. So I definitely understand. So what's the process that you feel like, okay, one, to identify, then to say, okay, hey, now I want to work through this? Because a lot of people don't realize that they're even, because I can only imagine, like, I'm like, oh, dang, like, this guy, he is a narcissist. Yeah. I'm with him. I want to get healed, but I'm in the house with him. So, like, how do I get out of here? You know?
I think most important is making a plan to move differently. Mm-hmm. The plan was number one for me, right? When I decided to say fuck him, I had $0 to my name. Mm-hmm. He was the breadwinner. So I had to actually make an escape plan, if you will. Mm-hmm. Because the old me would be emotional and be like, you know what? I'm leaving right now. I'll just sleep in the car. It don't matter to me. But that's not realistic. You know what I'm saying? So it's making a plan to change the way you see things now, change what's happening right now, but just be smart, strategic, and make a plan to build yourself financially, emotionally, mentally, et cetera.
And even give yourself a timeline.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I could see, I'm like, just one more year. One more year.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Give yourself an exit plan, but also like, okay, this got to happen in 6 months and I got to stick to it.
If there is no physical abuse, if there's physical abuse, I do recommend them leaving as soon as possible and finding a friend support system to definitely get out of there.
I love it. So how, I also know that this, you know, yes, this is passion work for you, but this could be energetically draining, you know, for mm-hmm. you as well. So how do you balance and not be triggered by the stories, because you really actually live this life?
I have not found that balance yet. So I thought hiring a customer service representative would do it, because then they can kind of screen and handle those stories that do come through the email. But that's a whole nother situation, because your girl was not balancing employees correctly.
Yes.
So I haven't found that balance yet. Honestly, a lot of things that I do is still emotional based. Mm-hmm. I have lived that life, so I immediately put myself in their shoes. Mm-hmm. And I get emotionally attached to the customer all the time. I mean, they will literally send me their stories, and now all of a sudden I'm sending them journals for free. And, you know, my personal phone number is on my business cards for if they have to reach out. I have not learned that balance. I haven't learned that boundary. And until I do, I guess I will still be servicing people in that way, honestly.
No, I mean, I truly understand. Because it's like you say, it's passion work. You know, like, it's not about, you know, we making a transaction, but it's not transactional for me. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I definitely understand that. So talk to me a little bit about your CEO journey. Like, what has been the ghettoest thing that you just feel like, you just like, girl, when I was trying to get out, I was not thinking about this.
Yeah. My story is funny. You know, I started this company in May of 2023.
Okay.
So we launched the business in May officially. And right after that, in June, I lost my sister. Mm. I buried, she actually died May 27th by a drunk driver.
Wow.
But we buried her June 10th. So I'm in CEO mode, but I can't really, shit's happening right now.
Right.
So we buried her on June 10th. I probably had from a previous job, or from the job that I was working, maybe $1,300 to my name when my sister passed away. But we don't come from a financially developed family, if you will. So as a big sister, the oldest of 18, I immediately went into big
sister.
Hold
on, 18 siblings?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, my mom had 9 boys and 9 girls, and Miss Kiera Lachey is the oldest. Yeah.
Wow.
And she pushed them all out naturally. But again, we got a bunch of side notes here we could talk about forever. But yeah, I'm the oldest, and so I immediately went into big sister mode.
Okay.
And I go drive down to Florida with these $1,300, and I am making sure we have food and making sure there's this and there's that. 2 weeks later, we bury her on June 10th, and I drive back up to Atlanta, which is where I was staying at the time. Mm. And there's an eviction notice on my door. Mm. So I'm like, what else can happen? And why the fuck did I say that? Because some more can happen. So there's an eviction notice on my door. I have a job working here, the best job I ever had, $25 an hour. Mm. So at this point, the FM Co. has started, but it's kind of like my side gig, if you will.
Okay.
I go to work on Monday, go to work on Tuesday, go to work on Wednesday. Thursday, I call my boss and I say, hey, it's just too heavy right now. I just buried my sister, so it's trying to spring back into work because you have financial obligations.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best for me. So I said, hey, let me take the day off and I'll be in tomorrow, which was Friday. She's like, okay, no problem. It's 8:00 in the morning when I tell her this. By 12 noon, she calls me to fire me. Yes. So again, what else could happen, right?
Right.
So I'm like, okay, you know, this is happening. It is what it is. I'm sure it can't get any worse than this, though. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So I call my friend who's in Nashville and I say, hey, I need help with the rent. I'm $1,000 short. Could you kind of help your girl out? And they're like, yeah, no problem, because you've always been there for me. Mm-hmm. They said, you just have to drive up here and get it. Now, I purchased my car at the time from when I was in Tennessee. So I drive up to Tennessee. This is now Sunday, the next Sunday. Drive up to Tennessee, park my car. Monday morning, I walk outside. It is repoed. It's gone. So at this point,
Lord,
I'm like,
take me off the strongest soldier list.
Exactly, exactly. So at this point, I know damn well not to ask out loud what else could happen, because...
But the fact that you sitting here, because I would have been on the floor still. Just laid out.
Right.
Like, what?
Like, don't even worry about it.
At this point, there's nothing else. There's nothing. Was that something? What else happened out there?
Listen, I'm happy to say that was it. Okay.
Because I was like, goddamn. Did the weed fall off?
Right.
Like, what was
in front of a crowd of people. Right. No, I'm happy to say that was it. So yeah. During all of this, some kind of way I get into mentally strong mode. Mm-hmm. I had already been researching what mental toughness meant, and I was determined mm-hmm. to maintain a level of mental toughness that could get me through those moments, because honestly, I believe that's the only difference between those who are going after their dreams mm-hmm. despite adversity and those who give up is the mental toughness component. So I'm in full mental toughness mode. This is June. By July, I make more than six figures in my business the very next month. Wow. Just by maintaining that mental toughness. I keep going. I keep showing up. And I tell people all the time, when you look back at my post, because I do everything in my business. I'm the social media manager. I'm the videographer. I'm doing it all. Packing, shipping, I'm the author. But when you go back and you look at my posts from those times, couldn't even tell I was going through anything. Was consistent. And I don't know if I was just burying myself in work or not, but it definitely paid off. The very next month, car repo, facing eviction, fire from your job. Right. Next month, six figures.
Ooh, ain't that a testimony?
It is.
Because he said, why don't you do it? Okay.
Yes, yes.
Listen, well, at least he took you through your Job season.
Yeah.
But at least he was in 30 days. Okay. You know, I feel right. like Job was in his season for like 2-3 decades. Like, we don't know, right?
Right, right.
But I love that because, like you said, it was mental toughness. And I think a lot of people, I'm hearing your story, and the thing that you thought was going to break you.
Right.
Should have been the thing that had put you in the mental institution.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But right. the thing that did break you was the thing that catapulted you. Oh, ain't
you
good,
go.
Girl.
There you
ain't
go.
I love that.
Right.
So now, where are we in this journey? Like, how has things been since then? You know, you've been in the business for mm-hmm. about 6 months.
Uh-huh.
So where are we now? Where are we going?
So a couple of weeks ago, I decided to look at my TikTok shop in my Shopify, and this was the end of December, I'm guessing, and I realized I made $250,000 in 6 months.
Mm.
Now, where are we now?
Is
where the fuck is the money, LaShondra?
Mm, yes.
I looked back and I'm like, where is this money? So now Ooh, I'm in
the- girl that's now, a whole nother episode.
Listen, now I'm in a whole nother mode because I didn't realize that I had made that much money, which means I wasn't properly managing that money. So now I have a CFO who's helping me manage money, and it's going great, but I had no idea where that money went, which made me feel freaking horrible.
Girl.
Because
listen,
I'm on the phone crying, and I'm like, I have a business bestie, which I recommend for everybody.
Yes.
She's an angel. I call her my unofficial coach.
Period.
But I'm over there crying. I'm like, girl, I made $250,000. I don't know where this money is. I probably have about $1,000 in my account right now, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. And she says, well, it's better to realize you have a problem at $250,000 than $1 million.
Come
and
on.
I was like, you know what? That's why I love you.
Yes, exactly.
Why I love you. But she's just like, girl, you did something amazing. Now it's time for you to streamline it, get your life together, make sure you're handling everything properly. But it's real ghetto out here.
No, it's very ghetto. I feel like the ghettoest thing is the finances.
Yeah.
The finances,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Because first of all, ain't nobody told us how to run this money through. No, like we ain't know.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And
yes.
So and then you look back, what really make you mad? It's like, I ain't got no purses, no Bugattis, no jets, no nothing. What is
that? Exactly. And that's another thing that I said, like, dang, I supposed to have a Tesla at least.
A little bag or something. Like, golly.
Right.
Eat some groceries.
Exactly.
Get out of here, right? But I think that is the hardest part of the journey. And one thing that I said this to my team within my division and my brand. I really want to commit myself to teaching entrepreneurs. I'm not a finance coach or nothing like that, but just making it aware, like, hey, bro, check the pocket.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to know, like, yes, because we getting drug dealer money running through our account.
There you go.
On a daily from Shopify. Shopify dropping bricks in our account every day, and we don't even know.
Right, exactly.
What to do with it.
Exactly. That was me. I was just telling her, they flagged my new business account today. It's only been open 48 hours.
Yes.
Probably $7,000 to $10,000 has ran through already. Mm-hmm. And he's just calling me like, it looked like fried. I'm like, sir,
I'm just moving bricks.
I'm just grinding. I'm just hustling. So now I got to go through this whole verification. Because I switched to a new account just so that I can stop swiping the same card for $2,000 worth of inventory that I do for $10.
If you're over here on YouTube watching the podcast, listen, I need you to do me a favor. If you love me, do me this favor. Pull out your phone right now and go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts or anywhere that you actually listen to podcasts at, right? I need you to subscribe and leave a review. Listen, the way podcasts work is the streets don't know we doing good if it's not on the audio version. The YouTube version don't really count, okay? So go over there, leave us a review, and let us know how much you love the podcast. Now back to the episode.
Dollars at McDonald's.
Exactly.
So now I'm facing that. But yeah, we're going to get it together though.
No, 100%. I know you are, because one thing, when I had to really, like, your friend was right.
Yeah.
You realized it at 250 versus my realization was at a million.
Wow.
And I was just like, bitch, you crazy. Like, are you fucking crazy right now? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so when I look back, I'm like, the first call is like, who's stealing from me? Yeah. Like, so where's the money, right? But then I realized it's me stealing from myself, because I am doing everything. I have no structure.
Yeah.
Right? Like, nobody is saying, there's nothing telling me like, oh, you can't order that order from Amazon.
Right.
Like, exactly. Oh, you can't. Because then you get, I think it's trauma, girl. Because then I get in a place where let's say I go to the store.
Yeah.
And somebody's like, well, that was $45, not the $35 you thought. Oh, bitch, give me some. I can't afford it.
Yeah.
Really? I want the appetizer, the meal, the dessert, the drinks. Yes. I want it all. You know, so we have to kind of learn to, like, live in this new era of money.
It's so funny that you say that, because it could be something this simple. I took my son to Outback yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I found myself, when the server came over to my son, he had a strawberry lemonade. There's no free refills. Mm-hmm. So he goes up to my son and he says, there's no free refills on that. Would you like a Sprite or some water? And in my mind, I'm like, give him
three. What is wrong with us?
But my son is in the habit of drinking water the second time around. Yes. So he automatically asks for a water. But I'm like, first of all, his mama got it.
I will buy you.
Exactly. So I definitely feel you, for sure.
No, it's something. It's something you gotta learn, right? Yeah. And I feel like that's why I said I want to. And we're having light of this conversation.
Yeah.
But in the midst of it, you be like, "This is crazy."
Yeah.
Like, I'm really doing. I'm doing all of this. I'm running the business. I'm doing the socials. I'm doing the videos. I'm doing all of this.
Yes.
And then I still ain't making the money,
right?
Or seeing the benefits of where I should be,
right?
You know what I mean? And it's. I think it's like this CEO trauma that we also have. And that's why I talk about how being a CEO is so ghetto, because we experience a lot of like hardships and a lot of emotional things that we have to go through.
Absolutely. It's a ride.
Listen, it's something. Okay. So dealing, and like I said, how are you emotionally being a CEO, right? You in the business that you have already requires you to be emotionally heightened.
Yeah.
Like, how do you make sure that you are with that mental toughness? Like, what does that look like for you?
So I wake up every morning and I do listen to Eric Thomas Motivation. He's one of the first things I put in my ear. I have started praying more, which I wasn't really all that religious before, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So I do pray more, just little prayers throughout the door, like, hey, keep me at peace, keep me at bay, help me understand that the position I am in is a blessing. And also just a constant reminder of where I was. Nobody wants to go back there. My Facebook family seen me go from not being able to afford 2 4-for-4s and just getting one for my son to where I am now.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go back there. I try to keep myself in a certain mental element that is required for you to keep pressing forward. Because otherwise you stop. And then if you stop, the business stops, and then the money stops. And then the next thing you know, you're probably asking for a loan again or something. So I just kind of just remind myself, girl, it's been a long journey, but you got this. I take the necessary breaks. Yeah. I have, I know what it feels like to get a professional massage now, which is amazing. Yes. Can't believe I slept on that for so long. And it ain't even that expensive. But in your mind, you just be like, I can't afford that. You know, you don't even look into it.
And that's exactly, I think before, it got to be a middle girl. Because before you make it, you be like, I can't get groceries delivered. Yeah. That's too expensive. Yeah. I can't have someone clean my house. That's gonna cost too much. Yeah. Then the other side would be like, bring you and all your cousins to clean my house. Like,
right,
I'm
right.
Buy y'all out. You know? I want. And then you like, you know what? I don't need meal prep. I want a living chef. How much is that? Like, now you asking.
Right.
You Google looking crazy.
yeah, absolutely. Definitely has to be a middle ground, but I'm easing my way into what I call a, you know, everybody's saying soft life right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm easing my way into it because my childhood has been, there's been a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
But I remind myself, girl, you are deserving. It's okay. Don't be crazy. Don't blow it. You know, stay within your means. I'm learning budgeting now because I was spending money like I was a drug lord. Yes. So it's just little things like that. I'm figuring it out as I go. Ghetto none the least, but I wouldn't trade it for sure.
I definitely wouldn't trade it. Well, y'all, I hope y'all enjoyed this episode, baby. We done kiki'd, okay? I want y'all to take something from this. I feel like we, you know, kind of hit on a couple of topics, but I want you guys to take a lot from this episode, not only to know like who and how you should be loved and how you should accept certain things, Absolutely. But also, shoot, the other part is self-love. Like, keep your money, child. Keep your, you know, figure it out. Let's budget, absolutely. You know, like figure it out. So what would you say to the people before we go?
I would say that it does get better over time. The thing about it is once you learn where it is that you're messing up at, whether it's self-love, whether it's finances, whether it's choosing the wrong partner, once you realize where your mistakes lie, have a dedicated plan to fix that, because that's honestly the only way it's going to change.
I love it. Well, y'all, this is another amazing episode of the Ghetto CEO podcast. I cannot wait to hear your responses in the comments. Make sure y'all like, comment, and subscribe, and I'll see y'all in the next episode.
All righty.